Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll get 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. And for at least the first little bit of this podcast, I'm going to be riding solo. A lot going on today with the retiring of Larry Walker's number down at Coors Field. He's in town. They've got an early press conference for us. A few different things moving around. So, in fact, we're going to be recording, I'm going to be recording at least the first half of this show, the first bit here, on my own before the Larry Walker press conference. And then we'll have thoughts and feelings and emotions and quotes and all of that from after the Larry Walker press conference from down at Coors Field. And if our schedules and everything work right and there's the time and the right spacing, Patrick can be along for that conversation. May have to wrap it up on my own. Well, again, we'll see how the day goes. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to be excited about on the official Larry Walker day here in Denver, Colorado. But we've also got a baseball game to talk about really quick, so I figured I would run through that with you all. Tough one for the Colorado Rockies, a 7-2 loss at the hands of the San Francisco Giants, who are the first team in Major League Baseball this season to reach 100 wins with that W right there. Very, very impressive, obviously. You know, nobody had this, even people who may have been, you know, whoever the equivalent San Francisco Giants, you know, Drew Kreisman over there in SFJR is, you know, I'm sure there was somebody saying, hey guys, they might not be terrible. Hey, they might sneak their way in, but they're going to be the best team in baseball by the end of September. No one had that. You've got to tip your cap and congratulate the Giants. You've got to feel a bit for Peter Lambert. Hasn't pitched in Major League Baseball since 2019 after the Tommy John surgery. And hey, welcome back to the bigs, kid. Go and get them. These guys are the best team in baseball. Tough ask for Peter Lambert. And of course, the very first pitch that he throws goes yard. Tommy Edman, in every definition of the word, ambushed him there. You know, we usually talk first pitch fastball, but that's the second time, obviously, that that's happened to a Rocky making their debut. Now, Peter Lambert has made his MLB debut, but it was his season debut. And after a long, long time off, it probably felt in some ways like a second MLB debut, though there really is no such thing. You never forget your first. But, you know, Ryan Feltner obviously had this same thing happen to him earlier in the season, where the very first pitch that he threw at the big league level goes for a home run. And there was that moment there, right, where you go, oh man, this, we could be in for a rough, rough one here for Peter Lambert, who, you know, has never had a ton of swing and miss stuff, right? And we knew he was on a pitch count limit coming into the game. And we just know how good the Giants are and how great some of these particular guys. You know, if I'd have had, I wish I would have had the chutzpah to do it. I thought about giving you Brandon Crawford. I honestly did as my DraftKings, as a bonus DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week, because Patrick had already done one earlier in the week. But I thought Lambert on the hill and he's on a pitch limit, which means we're going to see what we ended up seeing, right? The Rockies were going to have to go to a bullpen game, which either means a lot of innings out of a long reliever or several, you know, mop-up innings out of some of these guys who've struggled. We saw a little bit of both of that from Ashton Godot and Yency Almonte, right? Both of whom actually, well, we'll get into that in a minute, but I'll stick on Lambert. Let me stick with Lambert. So you're, you know, that could have gotten out of hand in a hurry, and you could have counted on Brandon Crawford and or Brandon Belt to hit home runs, and they did, right? But it was early. Really, it was the two home runs that got Peter Lambert. It was Tommy Edman and Brandon Crawford were who got him. He gave up four hits, only walked one which, you know, he's usually not a guy who walks people. That's not a part of his profile, but at the major league level, that did get to him in his very small sample size so far. But 3.2 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, both on solo shots, 1 walk, and the 2 strikeouts, which for him, again, is a solid pace. And yeah, you're not excited about it, and that may end up being, you know, we'll see how much more we'll probably get a chance to see Peter Lambert one more time, but I don't know if he's going to even be at the full, you know, 90. It might still be, we're going to cut him off around 80 pitches or so. But still, it's tough to say because he did get absolutely rocked on those two. And he was hit hard in a couple other ones too. He had there's a hard liner from Chris Bryant that Raimel Tapia made a really nice catch on. He had some nice defense behind him, but given the immediate, you know, oh my God, I gave up a home run on the very first pitch. All the things we talked about, he kept the Rockies in the game. I was really bummed he couldn't quite finish that at bat in the fourth against Brandon Crawford, right? He'd come up on his pitch count. It was clear Buddy was going to give him the opportunity to finish this at bat. I think he would have preferred to get him out of there at 60. He ends up throwing, was it 65, something like that? It was exactly 65. And so, you know, he had him in a 1-2 count, and he threw several good pitches that Crawford swung at and only got just a piece of, barely tipped him, and then eventually walked him and could not finish his night with an out, which was too bad. I wanted to see him get that final out there. 4 innings pitched, keep your team in the ballgame. A couple of pretty knowledgeable Rockies fans with a mild standing ovation for Lambert coming off the hill after all that time. And yeah, to really have not pitched in the majors in so long and to go out there and compete with those guys in that lineup and after getting knocked back a couple of times, I actually was impressed with Peter Lambert. Obviously, at some point, you know, you do stop looking just for silver linings in these guys, but he's still pretty young. You like remember where Brendan Rodgers was coming into the season with all those giant question marks? Now, Brendan Rodgers, of course, is a much more, you know, kind of advanced prospect, but there's a lot of prospect shine on Peter Lambert as well before his major league debut. He had a hell of a minor league career, did Peter Lambert. And so, you know, we're still in that space where you do have to be looking at that stuff a little bit differently in those early small sample sizes. But yeah, going into next year, he's going to need to prove more. But you can still be looking for the small victories with him right now. Like I said, Ashton Gadeau was really pitching well. The first 2 innings, he went out and, you know, again, kept the Rockies kind of in the game here with them coming back. And it was a 2-2 ball game through 5. And then the one homer for Belt in the 6th, and you go, yeah, okay, again, they're the better team, they've got the better lineup by far, you know, and we know what Crawford and Belt do, but still, you're looking at a 3-2 ball game as you enter the 7th inning here, and Gadeau had picked up some nice innings, kept him in it, and then just lost it. Then it was a bit of a unlucky right before the Yaz homer, because it was the swinging bunt, right, from Brandon Crawford. Again, the guy just kills the Rockies, but that ball is like 33 miles an hour off the bat. But the Rockies are in the shift. Even if they hadn't been in the shift, it was going to be a really tough play for Welker, who was playing third base yesterday, to come in and make that play on the bare hand. Very, very tough play. Unlikely to be made. But still, unlucky hit, no matter how you look at it. And then Evan Longoria with a hard single through the left side, a foot to the left, a foot to the right. That's a double play ball. And, you know, even if Yaz still manages to take Gadeau deep, you're looking at a 4-2 ball game. And then you start going to the other guys. And, you know, maybe you've got yourself in a better position here to make that comeback. But as we all know, didn't go down. Again, 1-2 count, worked ahead, was in a good spot here. And I really thought Gadeau was going to find a way to get him there. But a slider or it was a breaking ball. I don't know if it was a slider or curve. Trying to go for the back foot. Got a little bit too much. It wasn't even a terrible pitch. Yeah, it just went down. It wasn't a great pitch by any means. Wasn't a terrible one. Didn't hang right over the middle of the plate by any means. But he went down and got it and hit it, you know, for basically what was the game winner there in the 7th, a 3-run shot, and that would do it. It was a little unfortunate to see Robert Stevenson come in and struggle right after that. Brendan Rodgers committed an error that inning, just kind of got out of hand a little bit. But not too much, because he did end up closing out that inning, shutting it down, getting his 3 outs, and After that, Almonte actually did a decent job, only gave up one hit, did walk a guy, so had some traffic, but had a clean inning in terms of runs, which we all know he desperately needs. And then it was it's always fun to see Julian Fernandez go out there and light up the radar gun, sitting on 100 miles an hour. So at least there were some fireworks before the fireworks with Julian Fernandez. That was pretty fun to see. And so, yeah, obviously offensively, the Rockies didn't get a whole lot going after that first inning. They had singles from Tapia and infield, a couple of infield singles for Tapia in this one. He's still hitting the ball on the ground too much, but at least he was able to get slightly better luck in this one. You know, he had some much harder grounders in the Dodgers series. Guys made some nice plays on him. And then these ones, he just hit the ball like into the one was a big Baltimore chop. In fact, the Rockies had two of those in the game. Sam Hilliard with an impossible to make a Baltimore chop as well. He had two hits in the ball game. The other one was rocketed, though. He continues to have those rocket line drives get you real excited from Sam Hilliard. OPS on the season now up at 760. Rodgers with a three-hit day. He was by far the Rockies' best offensive player in the game. If those of you that follow the DMVR Rockies Twitter account saw me tweeting out the exit velocities. Brendan Rodgers had, I think, three or four of the top five exit velocities or six in the game. Because I know the Brandon Crawford home run and the Chris Bryant out that on the Tapia catch. But Rodgers' double to left was actually the hardest hit ball in the game at 110 off the bat. He was over 100 miles an hour on his first three hits in the game. And he had three hits. So on his three hits in the game, and he made an out that I think was like a 98 mile an hour exit velocity out. So Brendan Rodgers is hitting the ball very hard, and it's been a lot of fun to watch. Charlie Blackmon with a couple of hits in the game. They did have that opportunity late where they managed to load the bases. And, it was kind of interesting. I appreciate Bud Black playing where, because I think, opposing managers, and there'd be talking points nationally, especially in a game where Buddy already started a guy. Now, look, Bud Black needs to start Peter Lambert. The Rockies need Peter Lambert. And sorry, Dodgers or whomever, if you're out there complaining, saying, oh, man, why do the Dodgers get the Rockies' three best pitchers and the Giants get this guy who's making his season debut and is on a pitch limit, it's coming off of a surgery and is barely, he's still proving himself at the major league level even before all of that. And yeah, but that's, look, tough. That's just how it goes. Buddy's doing the right thing by his ball club there. But if he pinch hits Ryan McMahon to go right on left there. But I kind of wanted to see Colton Welker in the big spot. And you guys know, everyone knows, I'm a big Ryan McMahon guy. And I think he's going to, have big moments in the future. And this isn't even hindsight that McMahon struck out looking. It was a tough at-bat. It's all right. I thought he was on the first pitch. He swung out pretty well. You like his chances better? Absolutely. To put a ball in the gap there. And the integrity of the game, suggest that what Bud Black did there was the right thing to do. You go to the more veteran hitter, the better, more proven MLB hitter. It's also the left-on-right matchup. They also, play the same position, so it's the most natural kind of thing to do. But there was a little part of me that just kind of wanted to see if you could spark a little Lodo magic with Colton Welker. Because if he puts a ball in the gap there, you're looking at a 7-4 or 7-5 ball gamer, puts one over the wall. Now it's a 7-6 game and the crowd was fantastic. There was a massive crowd and a lot of them were Giants fans, but a lot of them were just fireworks fans and Rockies fans who were there. And they were really, I'll be straight up with you. I was actually kind of surprised at how pro Rockies the crowd was. We've seen and heard a lot of visiting fans kind of take over the ballpark this year. And that was a big, good crowd that really was ready for the Rockies to maybe make that comeback. And we're cheering on the big catches and the scoring that happened early. And like I said, it was a 3-2 ball game going into the seventh. So while it ended up 7-2, and you go, yep, Giants are the better team, Rockies fade in the end. And that's not untrue. You're still looking at this team that's playing these guys well. See if they got a chance to take either of these next two and do the spoiler thing, or just, again, less than that, keep proving to themselves individually, each individual saying, I can hang with these guys. Peter Lambert saying, I can battle that lineup. That's a 100-win lineup over there. those guys are going to the postseason for sure. And who knows what they may do. They may go on a great run. Giants could go and win the World Series. And Peter Lambert can say, you know, yeah, 3.2 innings, 200 runs may not look like the world to anybody else. But I got out so-and-so. I'm not going to go down the list of everybody that, you know, you got everybody out at some point, right? Except for maybe Crawford. But you internalize those successes against those caliber of players because you don't know until you get Brandon Belt or Buster Posey or Brandon Crawford or, you know, any of these guys, if you're pitching against the Dodgers, whatever, until you got in your mind a memory of having gotten those guys out, of having recorded a strikeout against Brandon Belt, like, that proves to you, oh, I know I can do that. This guy's a great hitter. He's a great hitter, but I know I can get him because I have. These are big moments for these guys. So we're going to keep watching them for the next couple of games, obviously. And we're going to keep, we're going to keep helping out all of our sponsors. We're going to keep drinking our Breck Brew. We're going to keep subscribing to the DNVR.com so that way you get a bigger Breck Brew down at the DNVR bar. You also get access to the Discord channel. You get discounts on hats and shirts. You get a free shirt when you order the annual. All kinds of fantastic stuff. Do become a member of the family today. And do put in your order at Hassle Cattle Company. Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef could change your life. It's changed mine. Don't order beef from the grocery store anymore. Whether you get burgers or ground beef, ground chuck, steaks, bacon, anything, it's absolutely wonderful. It's not going to cost you more than it does at the grocery store, especially if you're buying good stuff. And there's no antibiotics, there's no hormones, none of that garbage. It poisons the animal, it poisons the environment, it poisons your body, bad for everybody involved. Go, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. And check out the prices and the promos. You're going to be excited. Use promo code DNVR10 when you go to Hassle Cattle Company. That's Hassell cattlecompany.com. Put in your order. Use the promo code DNVR10, and if you order over $200, they'll hook you up with some free shipping. All right, it is now after the speech, and in fact, after the second game in the series, and I'm actually not going to share too many thoughts on what Larry Walker had to say just yet, because I want to get into that with Patrick, and I want to have a more complete conversation. I want to do that on the live when all of you out there can share your opinions as well. So make sure that you're with us for the Sunday wrap-up live on YouTube after the Giants series is wrapped up, and you can leave all of your comments with us there. Of course, special super chats always get a little bit of special attention. But let's go ahead and run over the second consecutive 7-2 loss at the hands of the San Francisco Giants, another tough one that looked probably a little bit closer than it ended up being at the end there. John Gray came out, got tagged for that run in the first, and it really came down to Brandon Belt, right? He wasn't able to figure out a way to beat Brandon Belt. And Brandon Belt has been one of the best performers from outside at Coors Field of anyone. In fact, I was looking through his stats as he hit the second home run, the big three-run jack that more or less put the game away second time. A lot of eerie similarities between these first two games, them both being 7-2, them being relatively close early on, them basically getting put away with a three-run home run in the middle to late innings there. And so, as all that was going down, I went and took a look at Brandon Belt's career stats at Coors Field, and they're absolutely ridiculous. In fact, every single offensive stat that, you know, is just kind of standard kept on Baseball Reference. So batting average, on-base percentage, slugging, home runs, RBI, runs scored, hits, even games played. Brandon Belt has his highest totals in every single one of those categories at Coors Field. Hit his 15th home run at Coors in 75, or I'd have to double check, it might be 76 ball games now. But yeah, he's just an absolute monster here. Now, he is a double check this. He is a free agent in the offseason. He's not exactly a spring chicken. He's one of those guys I'd be looking into. If you can't bring back Crone, or Crone has priced himself out, now I don't know that. I would think Brandon Belt would be actually a bit more expensive, though it'll all kind of depend because you know, kind of in that same area, but with a little bit more of a consistent track record of hitting well over the last several years. But it'll be interesting to see if that's a guy that the Rockies, and again, because of the Coors Field thing, you can add that extra element in there. But a career 125 OPS plus for Brandon Belt. You know, obviously they've got a lot of good things there in San Francisco going on. If they want to bring him back, bring him back. But he's somebody I've looked at every once in a while, because obviously, you know, watching all the Rockies games, you get that. We've seen the very best of him. And there are times, you know, in his career where he struggled with the strike, like a lot of guys. You know, he's very much a modern three true outcomes hitter who's really not going to spray the ball around and give you a ton in terms of, you know, batting average and stuff like that. 264 for his career, but you like the 358 on base and all those kinds of things. But he sure is putting on a show this weekend here in this series. That was his third home run of the set. He's always terrorized the Rockies, but particularly at Coors Field. And other than that, John Gray pitched well. You know, he hasn't been, and this has been well documented now, he hasn't really been going long, and he's been an over a 6 ERA over his last five starts here. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the long season after the short season, guys who were wearing out. Drew Goodman was on the podcast the other day talking about some dead arm for Herman Marquez potentially, or just running out of gas. And I think we're actually seeing that across Major League Baseball. You can even attribute, you want to attribute a lot of what happened to Max Scherzer to Coors Field. I like to attribute some of what happened to Max Scherzer to the Colorado Rockies offense. But I think even that in some ways can be, you know, attributed to, it's been a long season right after a very, very short one. And these guys are human beings. The body can't just go and go and go and stay consistent forever. So I kind of figured actually that last night would be the last time we would see John Gray this season. Just because, again, you want to keep him going, but you don't want to run him into the ground. You want to stretch him out. You want to get that endurance there so that it's there for next season. But as far as this year goes, you're not too worried about it. He did strike out five, and he didn't walk anybody. Those are the two big important things. And all four of the earned runs that he gave up coming on home runs from Brandon Belt. You know, a frustrating job for him leading up to the Belt home run, letting the bottom part of the lineup get aboard, plunking a guy in a 1-2 count. But other than that, you're still looking at a very, very solid campaign this year from John Gray, something that he should be able to build on. And with him not finishing in this incredible flourish, you know, it could be just one further incentive for both he and the Rockies to take it reasonably with any kind of contract extension and offer, right? And for them to come together and understand, hey, we're not going to pay you a super duper star money because we don't think you've quite earned that. And I don't think he believes that he's earned that throughout his career. But once again, has shown them his ability to be consistent and to win ball games at Coors Field over the course of a year. So I think if anything, it actually makes the return of John Gray even more likely than, say, had he pitched absolutely lights out down the stretch. That might have started getting a few other teams, you know, looking over and starting to make more aggressive offers that maybe the Rockies wouldn't be able to match. As it stands, I think the Rockies should be in a good position here to be able to retain John Gray. As far as the offense goes in that game, another two infield hits for Raimel Tapia. It does feel a little bit like the baseball gods are balancing that out for him just a little bit after a couple of weeks of tough luck. Got one in the air. That was nice to see. Single in the air. We've talked a little bit more about that, and I'll dive deeper into in the offseason, you know, why I think Tapia can and should hit the ball in the air a little bit more, but we'll get into all that. For now, you know, it was nice to see him contribute a little bit there at the beginning to try to get the Rockies back into it. Another three-hit day for Charlie Blackmon was nice to see. You got, but really not much else after that. You know, they had their opportunities. A couple of hits from Elias Diaz. One was a little floater. I thought Colton Welker hit the ball well. In fact, throughout his major league career so far, his very short major league career, I've thought Welker has taken really good at bats. I like the way he's willing to take the ball the other way. He just keeps hitting line drives right at the right fielder. So I don't know if that's a little bit one way or the other. You're looking at some doubles or, you wonder, does he have the opposite field pop to get that over the right fielder's head? Maybe put one off the wall, put one in the seats over there against major league pitching. We're going to find out. But for now, actually really like his approach at the plate. And like I said, beyond that, you know, the Rockies had their answer back. We've seen them do that throughout this series and really for the last couple of weeks. When they get scored upon, they answer right back. They gave up, you know, Belt got his solo shot in the first inning. Rockies answered back with two and held a 2-1 lead going into the fifth inning as John kind of settled down. But they had several other opportunities. It was too bad that on multiple occasions, C.J. Krohn came up with lots of ducks on the pond. You know, he's been their best hitter all season. He's certainly been their best hitter over the last couple of months or so, and just wasn't able to come through. Ended up leaving eight men on base. Even after the Giants added an additional three runs in the eighth inning against Jordan Sheffield, the Rockies had the opportunity to come back and win the baseball game, right? Loaded them up there in the bottom of the ninth with nobody out. And now you're a ball in the gap and a homer away from winning the baseball game, or, you know, a couple of balls in the gap away from winning the baseball game. And they had the guys up that you want in that situation. It was heart of the lineup, Rogers, Blackman, Krohn. And they couldn't get any run. They didn't push any across. Of course, now there you're not playing for one. Charlie's not taking the, like, oh, I just need to get this thing in the air approach, as he might have been if they had been down by one run. So the whole, like, they didn't get any is more of an extra twist of the knife than a real, like, failure of baseball strategy. But it was pretty unfortunate to see him go down just in a strikeout. And then Rogers with the swinging bunt. And then Krohn struck out, right? I'm trying to remember. Or did he pop out on the infield? But still, it was, you know, yeah, the Giants are obviously the better team. It's interesting to see the way they've pulled away from the Rockies and the Dodgers didn't, right? The way those Dodgers games remained very close, despite the fact that Rockies pitching, starting pitching, did give up more runs so far in that Dodgers series. But this is, I don't know, I feel like we're getting a little microcosm here in the last several days of why the Giants are probably going to win the NL West, despite the fact that the Dodgers have the better roster, in my mind, comfortably the better roster. But it doesn't always work that way, right? We're not just, it's not a video game. You don't just put up all the best players and then it works out that way. And you can see here with these, whether it's the clutch moments, you know, you take them back. If Brandon Belt rolls into a double play right there, we're talking about a very different baseball game, right? Or if any of these times, and this has been true throughout both the Dodgers and Giants series, but plenty of opportunities for the Rockies to just put one ball in the gap or just a little single back up the middle that scores a pair and gets you back into it. But not getting the clutch hit, not getting the veteran play, the veteran strikeout on the other side where, like we just talked about in the bottom of the ninth, it's not just, oh, hey, Charlie Blackman struck out. That's a tough thing to do there in that spot. But Charlie Blackman was struck out by the Giants pitcher, Leon. So, who has, by the way, a 1.62 ERA on the season. So it's not like the Rockies were the only team who couldn't put some runs on that guy, despite the fact that they were able to load the bases with nobody out. But I mean, just looking down the ERAs of the pitchers the Giants threw out last night. DeSclafani, 3.26. Alvarez, 2.48. Littell, 2.91. Garcia, 2.69. Rogers, 2.10. Watson, 3.83. Leon, 1.62. That's ridiculous. I don't know that the Rockies at this point, we know raw ERA is tougher on them and the whole thing, and you got to look at plus and all that, but I don't think the Rockies have a single pitcher right now. Maybe a couple guys, like I think Sheffield and Robert Stevenson with lower. Yeah, Sheffield's got a 3.51. Lucas Gilbreth at 3.66. But again, John Gray, 422. Bard, 502. Kinley, 459. Julian Fernandez, 953, right? So the Giants throwing out every single one of their pitchers in the threes or twos, except their closers in the one. And the Rockies had their chances out there. But that's how you win baseball games, right there. Absolutely clutch pitching from the San Francisco Giants. And you've just got to kind of tip your cap to them and say, yep, that's why you guys are a 100-win baseball team, because there were maybe three or four pivotal moments in that game. The belt, three-run jack that could have gone the other way. Like I said, sometimes with the Rockies loaded the bases that could have gone the other way. But the Giants won every single one of those moments. And this is why we talked about, like, the Rockies could have swept the Dodgers, right? Because the Rockies probably won more of those moments than the Dodgers did during that series. But this is absolutely wild. Think about it this way. The Giants and the Rockies have the exact same number of hits so far in this two-game set. 22 apiece. And last night, it was 11 hits for the Rockies, 11 hits for the Giants. It's about when they came. It's about the context of what's delivered. So you've got, in fact, back-to-back games where both teams got 11 hits, but the Rockies only scored 2 runs and the Giants scored 7. If they do that a third time in a row, we're going to have to call Elias. We're going to have to get Patrick on the phone and figure out what exactly is going on with that, because it's just super bizarre to see back-to-back games where a team gets 11 hits and only scores 2 runs, and the other team also gets 11 hits and puts 7 runs on the board. And, of course, we know the home run ball plays a big part of that. That's another thing. You can see the modern game of baseball pretty well on display here as the San Francisco Giants go up to the plate looking to hit the home run ball, and it works for them. It very obviously does. You know, it's not a strategy that I am absolutely in love with, and I do think that there are ways that we can incentivize other strategies being a bit more viable. I've talked about banning the shift and stuff like that, because I don't especially love the style of baseball where you just try to walk or hit a home run and you basically throw out the idea of even trying to get a base hit or build a rally on a bunch of hits. And so, but yeah, but it's done that way because it's viable, because it's smart, and it works, and it's working very, very well for the San Francisco Giants right now with their home run lineup. And so we'll see what happens on the Sunday wrap, but you just got to tip your cap, man. They're the best team in baseball for a reason. And, you know, like I said, while we can do all of the Silver Linings podcast bits about the Dodgers series, saying they were right there, they could have swept. They really could have swept the Dodgers. They honestly should have swept the Dodgers. They outplayed them, I felt like, in all three games. Whereas in this Giants series, I can go, yeah, they're playing them better than the final score looks. There's, you know, realize that these games are close going into whatever, but they got outplayed. They got beat straight up. Nothing to look at. And there were some, by the way, there were a couple of really terrible, terrible ball strike calls last night. Particularly one on Jordan Sheffield that I think basically led to that entire 3-run eighth inning for the Giants. But again, am I making as big a deal about that as I did the Ed Hickox game for the Dodgers? Absolutely not. Why? It wasn't as big a deal. It's roughly the same reason you don't make a big deal out of an error in the third inning where your shortstop boots one. If you win the game 8-1, no one's going back and saying, oh yeah, but your shortstop made one mistake or whatever. Nobody cares. It didn't impact the game. Not a big deal. So when a home plate umpire misses a call like he did last night, yeah, it made it harder for the Rockies to make a comeback. But he didn't. You can't really say he cost the Rockies the game. Where the Ed Hickox call, you could argue that that was the most important play of the game. And also, Jim Wolf was mostly pretty good behind the plate last night. He just missed a couple of key ones, whereas Hickox had an abhorrent game top to bottom. He'd been getting yelled at by Kyle Freeland innings before he ended up blowing the game. This is for Chacin. So, it took me a second to remember it was on the mound. So, yeah, there it is. There's the baseball update on the field. Not so great. Obviously, yesterday was really much, much, much more about off the field and Larry Walker and all of that great stuff. So we're going to have an opportunity to get into that. Like I said, on the Sunday wrap, make sure you're listening to that with us. Make sure that you are subscribed to the DNVR.com for all of that content. Plus, you get discounts on hats and shirts and masks. You know all the good stuff that you get for being a member. You also get to come and hang out with us, like down at the tailgate parties, all kinds of cool stuff like that. And you can get yourself, I'll do this one, get yourself Manscaped. Get out there, get Manscaped, feel good, feel clean. Get the best tools for your family jewels and get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code DNVR at manscaped.com. That lawnmower 4.0, it's got a 7,000 RPM motor, wireless charging, a travel lock, gives you the ability to get an LED spotlight on and off when you need it for that more precise shave. You gotta get nice and smooth, fellas. It's gonna make you feel better. They've got stuff that's gonna help you smell better. They got some of the most comfortable boxers you've ever worn in your life. So again, if you wanna feel like your absolute best, head to manscaped.com and don't forget to use promo code DNVR to get 20% off plus free shipping. All right, like I said, tune in for the Sunday show. Make sure that you're following us live. Make sure that you're following along. We got one left against the Giants, then the three last home games of the season. It'll be Fan Appreciation Day on Wednesday. Always some great stuff going on when they do that, handing things out. And then they wrap up the season, the whole damn season in Arizona. That is, of course, assuming that the Philadelphia Phillies don't go on some kind of run and force Atlanta into having to play the Rockies. Really force the Rockies into having to fly to Atlanta and play a game 162. Otherwise, we're ending at 161 games this year. It's been nothing if not absolutely interesting and wildly entertaining all season, right, folks? So appreciate you hanging in for this one. A little bit shorter, a little bit just on the nose about these last couple of games. I promise we'll do all the Larry Walker stuff and the full series wrap up with Patrick on Sunday afternoon live on YouTube and all that stuff. So make sure you're hanging out with us. Make sure you're continuing to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. I promise you to continue being absolutely Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we'll see you at the ballpark.